It's The Naked Scientist with Chris Smith and also with Greer Jackson. Still to come, what do sex, drugs and religion all have in common?
But first, a new technique that enables doctors to recreate a patient's disease in a dish. And it's been pioneered at Cambridge University, where heart doctor Sanjay Sinha is working on disorders of blood vessels.
We take advantage of making stem cells from patients who have diseases. We can actually take a skin biopsy from these patients and, using those skin cells, turn them into stem cells. And then we can use these stem cells to generate blood vessel tissues. Basically, smooth muscle cells are the ones we primarily study. And these are the cells that form the walls of most blood vessels. We started off looking at aortic aneurysms, and we focused on a condition called Marfan syndrome. This is a genetic disorder, so it runs in families. People who have Marfans have overgrowth of their long bones, hyperextensible joints, and in fact, it's speculated that Abraham Lincoln might actually have had Marfan syndrome. That's the sort of typical appearance of somebody. But the biggest problem that these people face is the development of aortic aneurysms. The aorta is the biggest blood vessel in the body. It's like a large hose pipe coming out of your heart. And if that ruptures or tears, it's absolutely catastrophic for the patient.
What fraction of people who are affected by Marfans actually get that problem?
Well, a large percentage of them actually, but the majority will have increasing aortic size. And at the moment, the only treatment that's effective for preventing rupture or tearing of these vessels is surgery. There's no effective medical treatment at the moment, and that's what we'd like to do, is to come up with a new treatment that can actually prevent aneurysms and prevent such drastic surgery from being needed.
And so, using your technique, does that mean we'll gain potentially more insight into why the disease does what it does?
That's exactly what we want to do. The smooth muscle cells that we make from the stem cells from the patients, we can see the same abnormalities in the culture dish that we see in a patient's aorta. So the abnormalities would to do with breakdown of extracellular matrix, connective tissues, increased stiffness of the smooth muscle cells, the increasing smooth muscle cell death. We see all that in our culture dish as well. So we can use this system now to actually study the sort of molecular mechanisms, what might be causing those abnormalities. We can also use it as a screen to say, well, what new medicines or drugs can we use to try and prevent those abnormalities?
Can we take a look at the laboratory where you're making these diseased blood vessels in dishes?
Of course, let's go. So we keep the cells in this incubator at 37 degrees. So if you have a look down here, you'll see round patches of cells. Now, these are stem cells that we've generated from patients with Marfan syndrome.
I'm looking down the microscope and I'm seeing blobs. They look like little islands. If I was to look at an archipelago of islands in the ocean, what am I seeing?
So you're seeing stem cell colonies. So these are collections of cells. As they grow bigger, we can then treat them with cocktails of growth factors, and then these will eventually make smooth muscle cells.
How do you know when they've turned into a muscle cell?
Yeah, they change their appearance. They'll start to look like long spindles, so very different in appearance to what we see here. In fact, much bigger. And in fact, if you then stimulate them, you can actually see the muscle cells contract.
Goodness. And once you've got them into muscle, how do you then start sort of asking questions of them about the disease that they would be harbouring were they in a patient?
We can do studies looking at the different proteins that are expressed. We can look at changes in the DNA, whether the cells are alive or whether they're dying. And using all of these approaches, we can see whether the cells are healthy, as you might expect in a healthy vessel, or whether they're reproducing the abnormalities that we see in patients who have Marfan syndrome.
Sanjay Sinha. But what does a discovery like this mean for a person who actually has the condition?
My name is Shona Cobb and I have Marfan syndrome and I write a blog called Shona Louise. When I was growing up, I went to Great Ormond Street a lot, and to me that was just sort of a fun day out. That's how I associated it.
This is the hospital for kids in London.
Yeah. And then as I grew older, I learned more about it. I learned about our family history and what happened with my uncle and my granddad, who both suffered aortic dissections when they were in their 30s. So I sort of learned how important it was. And then this year it sort of became more central in my life as we discovered that my measurements were progressing towards the point where they would operate.
So this is the main blood vessel coming out of the heart in you is stretching now?
Yeah, my aortic root is getting quite close to the point where they usually say it's time to step in.
And what will that mean?
It will mean major open heart surgery, having a whole part of my aorta replaced to remove the part that has widened to stop it from bursting. So it will be quite extensive surgery, and especially for someone of a young age.
How old are you?
I'm 19.
Now, when you hear about a piece of research like Sanjay has done here being reported about the condition that is very close to your heart, no pun intended, what goes through your mind?
It's amazing. For someone like me, you know, it's going to be up there as a day that I will remember for the rest of my life. And, you know, I'm really not exaggerating, because this is big news for me and many others. We have a rare condition that we often go to the doctors and they don't know what it is, or they don't know enough about it, and they sit there and Google it in front of us. So to have someone say that they've spent time and energy looking into our condition and they've actually found something, which is a big step forward, you know, it's amazing.
What about the point, though, that for many people with these sorts of conditions, it will be too late to stop them getting the kinds of complications like you have got?
Yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot, because obviously it is too late for me, and it's too late for some of my family as well. But I think it brings hope for the next generations to come. And there's a lot of people who have children who have only just been diagnosed with it, or, you know, having babies and wondering if they have it. To be able to have someone say, you know, things might be different for them is what we want.
Shona Cobb. So what new avenues has this ability to reproduce a patient's disease in a dish delivered to us? Sanjay Sinha again.
In the majority of people with Marfan's, the gene is fibrillin 1. And the mutations in fibrillin 1, what happens is that there's a lot less fibrillin 1 in the aorta, and there's also degradation and breakdown of other connective tissues that leads to weakening of the vessel wall. There's also loss of smooth muscle cells. And what our work has shown is that there's another pathway that we've identified mediated through a protein called P38 that's important for smooth muscle cell death. And P38 is overactive in Marfan syndrome. And if we actually block it, we can rescue this smooth muscle cell death.
And that's what this new approach is showing you?
That's what the new approach has shown us. And I think it's really important and actually really exciting, because there are medicines available that drug companies are developing to block P38. These have been used in clinical trials in other patients with other conditions, so we know these drugs are safe. They've never been tried in patients with Marfan syndrome. And this is really exciting, because our study suggests that we could use these drugs that we know are relatively safe. So we're very close, I think, to clinical trials using this approach.
Very exciting. Cambridge University's Sanjay Sinha, and before him, Shona Cobb. And they published that very encouraging work in Nature Genetics this week. Now, do you remember last week where we had a mystery smoothie? Our Georgia Mills thought it was made of...
I'm very bad at this. I think there's banana in here. And judging by the colour, maybe something like a melon or apple?
And guest Matt Powner...
I get banana taste. I think I got melon from a little bit of texture that I had in there. Possibly strawberry based on smell.
Now, Kirsten sequenced the DNA of that smoothie and we put the code of it online. We asked you to use that sequence to tell us what the main ingredient was. And the only person to get it right was Rodney from Australia. Congratulations, the main ingredient was melon. You also mentioned cucumber. There wasn't actually any cucumber in there, but we're going to let you off because cucumber and melon are incredibly similar in their genetic code.
So bravo, Rodney.